This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, 7:07, Wednesday, the 24th of August, and you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiao Ning together with Keith Kam. And it's a packed show, but in the next 30 minutes, we'll be speaking to Denis Mikhailiuk. He's the charge the affairs of the
Embassy of Ukraine.
Yes, thank you for helping me out, Keith.
Yeah.
On the 6-month anniversary of the Russian invasion. But in the meantime, let's recap how global markets closed yesterday.
So on Wall Street, the Dow Jones ended 0.5% lower. The S&P 500 closed down 0.2%, but the Nasdaq ended flat, virtually unchanged. Early in the day in Asia as well, Nikkei ended down 1.2%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 0.8%. Shanghai's composite index was down 0.05%. That's marginally. And in Singapore, the STI was down 0.5%. And the FBM KLCI closed 0.3% lower.
So to help us understand where markets are heading, we have on the line with us Brian Aziz. He's the portfolio manager and equity analyst at Ford Asset Management. Good morning, Brian. Now, the Jackson Hole is taking place this Friday. So what are your expectations from the annual Central Bankers Symposium? Are you expecting hawkish or dovish tones?
I think that's the million-dollar question. I mean, that's certainly what investors are waiting for. If we look at what markets are pricing in currently, we see that markets are pricing in a 60% chance of another 75 basis point rate hike at the next meeting, so relatively hawkish. We are also sitting in that camp. I mean, markets over the past 2 week and a half have been relatively range-bound, and really that's in anticipation of waiting and not being willing to make too much of a bet either way what will come out of the meeting in Jackson Hole. But in our mind, the Fed will likely continue to be hawkish in its bid to tamp down inflation.
The MSCI Asia Pacific Index is now down nearly 17% year to date. It's been performing marginally worse in comparison to the S&P 500. Why has that been the case, and which equity markets are significant underperformers in this region?
Well, that's a great question. There's really two primary reasons why. Part of it is the composition of the markets that we have here. So the markets that are really leading in large part to the underperformance, Korea, Taiwan, and to somewhat lesser extent China, are all down between 20 and 25% in dollar terms. So the composition of the indices, particularly in Korea and China, are more technology heavy, even in relation to the S&P, for example. So those growth stocks and technology stocks have been under pressure as rates have continued to rise. And then the second reason for the underperformance is that these indices are priced in dollars, and the dollar has been incredibly strong. So if we look at the Korean won relative to the dollar, it's depreciated this year, sort of 12-13%. And the dollar in Taiwan has depreciated against the US dollar by 7-8% as well, which also weighs on performance of those local indices.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the US dollar. And, you know, because if I look at it on the spot index, it's actually up close to 10% on a year-to-date basis. Is this bad or good, actually, for the US economy?
So for the US economy, it's not necessarily bad. It helps the US consumer, obviously buying goods and importing goods from outside with a stronger dollar, lessens the impact of inflation a bit. Mm. And we do, but I mean, there is a limit to that. But we do think at the moment that the dollar will continue to remain strong, in particular because, as we mentioned, we do expect the Fed to remain relatively hawkish coming out of the meeting. And that hawkishness and those interest rate differentials have really been supporting the dollar this year and are likely to continue to do so.
So in a situation like this, we can't expect the current situation to worsen, or what's your outlook on this?
Outlook on markets in general, you mean?
In general, yeah.
Yeah, so we do expect markets to kind of pause to probably have a bit of a headwind from here. I mean, there was a large reprieve over the past several weeks as inflation, at least on the margin, started to come down. So moved from 9.5 to 8.5. But obviously, 8.5 is still quite material. In our base case, inflation continues to come down, but it's likely to remain somewhat sticky at a range much higher than it's been over the past 15 years. So we do expect the interest rates to need to rise probably more than investors expect. And that would be a headwind for markets. And then secondarily, those interest rate rises will obviously put pressure on the consumer for example, and corporate earnings, which would also put additional pressure on the market.
Okay, so we have this backdrop that you've given, but I want to know what then should investors do? What is the best investment strategy? Because we've got this general underperformance of stocks, and at the same time, yields are rather low on fixed income in Asia. And in the past, you know, it was considered to be conservative but balanced to have this 60-40% portfolio allocation between stocks and bonds. Does that still make sense?
So as we've chatted a bit previously as well, I mean, we do run global multi-asset portfolios, but we don't feel compelled to benchmark ourselves against or really manage to that 60-40 portfolio. And the most important thing for investors is to earn a return greater than inflation, so to earn a real return over time. In periods of inflation, bonds notoriously are poor performers in real terms, and that's really the period that we're in currently. So as recently as 12 months ago, when rates were at record lows, and our expectations for inflation had increased, we held no credit in our global multi-asset fund. Now, equities can be volatile during periods of inflation, and as you mentioned, they have been underperforming. However, they do offer a real return, particularly those equities or companies that have pricing power. So equities are okay to own in inflation relative to other asset classes. And then we would also include in there commodities, which offer quite a nice inflation hedge as well.
The speculation that the real impact of continuing lockdowns will be seen in weak Chinese corporate earnings as and when they are released. Which sectors or types of companies are going to show the worst hit to their bottom line?
No, that's a great question. So the lockdowns certainly have an impact on the economy and corporate earnings, including most prominently consumer-oriented companies and those in kind of offline brick-and-mortar retail. So in the first half already, we've seen auto volumes come down fairly significantly given the lockdowns in tier one cities. But discretionary company earnings in general are likely to be hit. So offline retail, for example, food and beverage will likely be hit hardest with significant revenue declines, but also with the large fixed costs they have, they'll have a significant amount of margin deleveraging as well. Obviously, the online retailers will be impacted slightly less than those with brick and mortar.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Brian Assis, Portfolio Manager and Equity Analyst at Ford Asset Management, giving us his views as to where markets are heading. And I think all attention will be paid at Jackson Hole. That's happening over the weekend. Every single word that comes out of the mouth of Jerome Powell will be carefully watched. Analyzed as to whether the Fed remains as hawkish as it is. 8.9% inflation,
8.5%.
Okay, still very, very far from the target of 2%. But at the same time, we are seeing macroeconomic data, not only from the US, but from other major economies showing signs of a slowdown. So who knows? But very quickly, we also have results coming out in US. So it's Nordstrom. Nordstrom is, of course, one of the famous retail departmental stores. They slashed their financial forecast for the full year, citing slower customer demand and a glut of inventory. And this is something we have heard from other retailers. Walmart, Target have all said the same thing. So, but at the same time, revenue did rise 12% to $4.1 billion, beating street expectations.
Yeah, their inventory levels increased nearly 10% compared with the year-ago period. So Nordstrom now sees annual sales, including credit card revenue, up 5% to 7%, compared with a prior range calling for a 6% to 8% increase.
But still not a Wall Street darling because there's only 3 buys, 12 holds, 5 sells. Consensus target price for this stock is $24.21. It closed at regular session up 23 cents to $23.20. But up next, we'll be speaking to Dr. James Chin, Professor of Asian Studies, University of Tasmania, on the future of UMNO. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.